I'm standing along the edge of Aberdeen's downtown, right next to some train tracks. Very likely in the exact spot I'm standing now, on a brick patio next to the old Milwaukee train depot, a soldier stood before heading overseas to fight in World War II. Hundreds of thousands of men and women stopped here in Aberdeen for a pheasant sandwich more than 60 years ago.
There was a lot of noise because everybody was talking and it was hubbub, bub, you know.
Just a high schooler at the time, Vera Lilly remembers when this deserted train depot buzzed in the early 40s. Troop trains alone unloaded an average of 500 soldiers every day.
Attention, men. We're stopping at the next station. Be ready to get off.
On the peak day, 1,500 soldiers from across the nation stopped at the train station in Aberdeen. Surprisingly, this tiny northeastern South Dakota town was the place to be.
That depot became famous all over the country and further than that because of the canteen. Soldiers from every state in the Union and everybody and wherever they went, they talked about pheasant sandwiches. Many, many of them, as they came up to the counter, said, is this where we get the pheasant sandwich? It had spread its wings. I don't think they ever expected that the pheasant sandwich would become the thing.
The pheasant sandwich is similar to a chicken salad one, with some celery, eggs, and other ingredients mixed together and served cold. Quickly, the canteen was dubbed the Pheasant Canteen. Patsy Weigel points out in South Dakota, it was a no-brainer to use pheasants, particularly in this hotbed with Redfield, the self-declared pheasant capital of the world, nearby. Plus, Weigel says it was free meat, and during this time, there was no limit on how many could be shot.
The other part of that, I'm sure these men that went out to hunt, you know, they didn't have any fun.
Yeah. Weigel remembers going to the canteen with her mother. She was about 10 years old then. She teases that Vera Lilly had the better time since she was a teenager.
Vera can give you a little different perspective because she was tall enough to see these good-looking men.
People say, why would you want to go down there and work just because your mother did or something? I said, my gosh, if you were 17 years old and a train pulled up and soldiers were running towards you, would you not want to be down there giving out the sandwiches?
Over coffee and banana bread, the two women flip through photographs of smiling soldiers. The smell of cigarettes and coffee in the canteen stands out in their memory, recalling it was a time when soldiers were encouraged to smoke. Weigel remembers the soldiers being grateful for the free food and other presents they are given, like gifts at Christmas. Red Cross volunteers wearing dresses that look like old nurses' uniforms man the canteen with the help of the USO, Boy Scouts, and the community at large. Lily says the ladies usually just had about 15 minutes notice before a train pulled in, so they needed to quickly prepare an assembly line where each woman completed one step of the process.
The preparation before the trains came in was what was phenomenal. Fixing all that food and the precision. The bread was here and put the butter, spread. Slap the top on. I mean, the way they had it organized was is something when you look back at it now, you think, my gosh, how did they do it?
Aberdeen and the surrounding area rallied behind the canteen. Volunteers and donations came in from a 75-mile radius. Weigel says the town couldn't have done it alone, with 4 to 6 trains coming in every day, especially with rationing. Many people donated the ration stamps the canteen needed, like for sugar to be able to make soldiers' birthday cakes, or for gasoline to send groups out on pheasant hunts. Weigel says there was no shortage, sometimes actually too much.
The radio announcer was good about telling the community the canteen needs this or the canteen needs that. And one day he made the comment that the canteen needed pie. And pretty soon the people from the railroad called the people in charge of the canteen and said, you have to do something. We have pie coming in down here and we don't know what to do with it all. That's how the community responded.
Weigel says it was a different time. The nation's overwhelming patriotism drew the community to help. Plus, everyone knew someone who was in the war. Lily had 3 brothers fighting. One brother never came home.
To lose him at the age of 21, hadn't had a chance to start living. and he was an exceptionally intelligent, bright young man.
Lily's brother died in the Battle of the Bulge. Weigel says while the canteen was to boost the morale of soldiers, it couldn't be ignored that many soldiers wouldn't come home.
For the most part, when those GIs left, there was probably a lot of thought that they would not return.
Before every train pulled out, the Pheasant Canteen played Kate Smith singing God Bless America. The largest concern these women have is the history is being lost. Weigel says nearly all of the women who volunteered in the canteen have died. The train depot is scheduled to open again, and they hope to open a permanent display there when it does. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Johanna Saylor.